Good morning. And you know, as John was speaking just a few minutes ago, I was thinking about God working through in our land. But that starts with our relationship with God and us knowing him and allowing him to change us and to make us the people that he wants us to be. So we're part of that process of revival coming to our land. So this morning, as the picture says, we're thinking about one of Jesus's statements about I am. And Jesus used the I am statement 7 times to indicate different aspects about his character. He said that he was the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the door to the sheep, the bread of life, and then also the true vine, which is the one we're going to concentrate on today. You know, the nature of vines is that they can be very complex plants. They can be rambling, climbing, and sometimes even invasive plants. But here Jesus says that he is the true vine. So what does it mean when Jesus says that he's the true vine? Just want to read that passage from John 15. And Jesus says these words, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So when Jesus talked about being the true vine, he was using a picture of that would have been very familiar to the Jewish people. They would have been aware of the use of the picture of the vine. The Israelites in the Old Testament were called a vine. And they were supposed to be a vine that revealed itself to be connected to the one true God through which they were going to produce much fruit. The Israelites, however, were not very good examples of the true vine and fruit because they failed time and time again to remain connected to God and to follow his commands. One of the psalmists, I think it's Asaph, said this about Israel. "You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches, and the branches reached out as far as the sea." And then Isaiah says this, "I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a winepress as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and your vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard than I have done for it. When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? So that's a picture of the children of Israel. They were there to produce good fruit, but instead, in most cases, they produced only bad fruit. But Jesus says here that he is the true vine, a perfect example of what the people of Israel were supposed to be. The second thing in this passage, it says this, my father is the gardener. This is, I think, the only passage that speaks directly about God being the gardener, but we can see God's creative heart in creation. The start of time when he created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. And at the end of each day, God said that it was good. My dad was a gardener and he produced many beautiful things, such as flowers. I particularly remember his sweet peas. He also produced lots of vegetables that were very practical when I was growing up. And as I've said many times before, I am not a gardener. I really don't know very much at all. I have at times aspired to be a gardener. Chris may tell you of the failures that I've had in my gardening career, planting carrot seeds that I never saw again. And I'm sure if my dad was alive, the statement that I'm not a gardener would receive much disdain because he never understood why I couldn't be a gardener. Michael, here at ABC, alongside other things like being a lover of an immense knowledge about classical music. I wish he was there when I watched University Challenge, because I don't know that either. He's also a football supporter, well, sort of, with his choice of team. But he's also a very accomplished gardener, and many of us have benefited and continue to benefit from his expertise. A gardener knows what they're doing. They know what's good, what is correct environment to grow the best things, and they also know what the weeds are. And Jesus says that his father is the gardener, the ultimate gardener. He knows what is best. And that picture of the vine and the branches was a picture of Jesus with his disciples. They had been called to follow Jesus, and they had therefore been grafted into the vine. And that's true also for ourselves. We've come, for those of us that have accepted Jesus, we've come into a relationship with Jesus. We've been grafted into the vine. The Father and Jesus is the source of all life. The Father knows what is right for us, the right environment, the right food, and knows what the weeds are in our lives. So then he moves on and he says, he cuts off dead branches and prunes for greater growth. Have a look at, these are not our plants, honestly. You can see very clearly some dead leaves and some dead branches, and that shows a picture of things that need to be cut off or things that need to be discarded. And so it is with us. God, as the gardener, knows the things in our lives that we might call, that might be called unfruitful, or even sometimes dead wood, things that are holding us back, things that are not in line with us having a close relationship with Jesus. Whether that's poor habits, things that we watch, things that we listen to, things that will hinder our relationship with Jesus. And he wants to cut them out of our lives so that we can be closer to him, so that we can be fruitful children of God. This was a plant in our garden, and this Chris hacked at this plant, and I wondered what on earth he'd done, but this was the result afterwards, so it was worth doing that. So what is the fruit that Jesus wants to produce in our lives? So he wants to produce character fruit. A few months ago, we did a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-controlled. And this is character fruit that God wants to produce in our lives. And they're not manufactured by human willpower, but grown as we abide in Christ. And then also he wants to produce kingdom fruit. As we live for Christ, our lives influence other people. We share the gospel. We encourage fellow believers. We serve those in need. And we reflect God's love in tangible ways. And that's fruit that lasts. But you know, sometimes there are areas of life that are producing fruit, but they can be even more fruitful if we're open to that pruning process in our lives. Pruning, as I saw on that plant at home, appears to be very harsh. And pruning in our lives can appear that God's being very harsh. But it's worth it when you see the results that come from it. And sometimes we may think that God's pruning in our lives appears as a punishment, but his pruning is not a punishment. Punishment has this negative connotation or can be a negative experience that can be very damaging. But pruning is so we can become more fruitful. One of the commentators that I was reading this week said these words: "Your heavenly Father is never nearer to you than when he's pruning you. Your heavenly Father is never nearer to you than when he's pruning you." So how does God prune us? I found another article as I was reading this week, and it's by a lady called Tiffany Butts. The title of this article was, "It's Not Punishment, It's Pruning." So firstly, he removes what is dead or dying. That can be desires that have lost their importance as we've grown in Christ, but it can also be desires that we've held on to as well because we don't want to let them go. God, in his pruning process, will strip them away from us. Secondly, he removes what is infected or diseased. A vine or plant will never grow if there is an area of sickness. So that is with us. If there's areas of sickness or hurt in our lives, or unforgiveness even, we'll never become the people that God wants us to become. Sometimes thinking about my own life and maybe yours, There are times when we think we've dealt with something and then God brings it back up again for you to deal with another aspect of it. It's a bit like peeling an onion that has many layers, and sometimes God deals with one bit and then he deals with another bit. So he removes what is infected or diseased. Thirdly, he removes things that are hindering you. So pruning is not always about removing things that are overtly bad for you, but sometimes it can be seemingly good desires. Things like getting a better job, earning more money, which is not necessarily bad in itself, but they can be bad for us if it takes our focus off God and onto other things. Sometimes God will say to us, "No, not yet." So he may remove things that are hindering us. And fourthly, he'll remove things to change our focus so that we're on the right track. Unpruned plants and trees and vines can grow in every which direction, whereas pruned plants grow in the direction the gardener wants them to grow in. sometimes we need to focus on, perhaps on verses like Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths or make your path straight." Sometimes God wants to change our focus so that what it's on, so that we're focusing on what God wants us to focus. So let's think about trusting the expert gardener, our Father God. Jesus then moves on to the next part of this. "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine, and neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." God loves us so much, and he wants to do great things in us and through us. He wants to teach us and to train us to be kind and gentle, peaceful and patient, loving and forgiving like he is. But we can't develop fruit on our own. So this is called a call to an active relationship between ourselves and God. God has promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. So the part of the verse, "as I remain in you," is absolutely secure. God will never abandon us. God will never walk out on us. But what about us? How good are we at remaining in God? How good are we at keeping our relationship with God strong and consistent? And how do we do that? So firstly, we do that through prayer. Again, a series that we talked about Christian disciplines recently, and prayer was one of those. So we do remain in him by communicating with God. Just as we communicate with our families, our friendship groups, work colleagues, by communicating. So if we're to keep close to God in our relationship with him, we need to actually talk to him. Sometimes we might struggle with prayer and we think that we can't actually do it. Or I could never pray like somebody else that you've heard at church. But prayer isn't about long sentences or big words. Remember, God is your Father. And as a father loves to have his children talk to him, God loves to hear you talk to him. Jesus rejected the long prayers of the Pharisees and accepted the prayer of the sinner because they came with no pretense at all. So let's not think that we can't pray. There are many opportunities to pray corporately with others from the church here on a Monday evening. Sometimes we can pray with small groups of friends or pray when you're out for a walk. It's about communicating with your Father God. We also need to keep growing and developing our relationship with God by reading the Bible, by listening to the Bible. If you're not sure what to use, there are many different reading options, then please ask and people will be able to point you in the right direction. What's right for one person is not necessarily right for another. So we remain in him by prayer, by reading the Bible, by coming to church, which you've done this morning. We have fellowship with God and we have fellowship with other followers of Jesus, and that strengthens and develops our faith and walk with God. When we stay connected to God through meaningful Bible study and prayer, we're abiding in Jesus, and God wants us to be rooted and grounded in his love, that nothing can shake us, so that we're able to bear fruit even in the hardest, most difficult seasons of life. And then Jesus goes on to say this: if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This verse may give the impression that we can ask for anything we want and God will give us it. But I don't think that's what this verse is saying. I believe it's saying that as we remain in him and he in us, our wills become entwined with what God wants for us, and we'll be asking him for what he wants us to have, what his will for our lives are. Doesn't mean that I can get up tomorrow morning and say, God, can I have a Ferrari? Because I don't think he's going to do that for me at all. But that we can ask according to his will. As we remain in him, we get more in tune with what he wants for us. And then in the next verse it says, bearing fruit, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The fruit that we produce as we remain close to Jesus not only reveals that we are followers of Jesus, but it also brings glory to Jesus as our lives point to the difference that he's made in our lives. As we spend time with God, we become more like him and we reflect him to the people that we come in contact with. We point people to Jesus. We bring glory to Jesus by the fact that he's changed our lives. So in conclusion, firstly, have you been grafted into the vine? Have you accepted Jesus into your life personally? It's not just about coming to church. It's about having a relationship with Jesus. Secondly, are you remaining in the vine, abiding in the vine by growing in prayer, reading the Bible, allowing God to develop your faith in him? Thirdly, are you allowing God to prune you? Am I allowing God to prune me? Or am I saying to God, don't touch that area, that's mine? Sometimes I think it's actually helpful to evaluate our lives periodically and ask God to show us things that need to be maybe cut off because they're hindering our relationship with him. But also maybe today you're feeling like God's taking you through that pruning phase and you're struggling to understand what it's about, what God is trying to do in your life. Please come and ask for prayer. The leaders and everybody here are ready and willing to talk to you and to pray with you about whatever you're struggling with. And you have a Heavenly Father who loves you and wants the best for you. Or maybe even this morning you feel a little bit detached from the vine. You may have wandered away from God. You may have been very close to him last year or even 6 months ago, but you're not in that place that God wants you to be now. God is waiting, just like the Father waited for his prodigal son, to welcome you home, to with open arms to receive you and bring you back to the place that he wants you to be. So if you're feeling a little bit detached from the vine, please ask for prayer. Please come and talk to us. We're happy to pray with you. And there's more time now, so God is waiting. So let's just pray. Father, thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us so that we can have a relationship with you, so that we can be part of the vine. Father, thank you, Jesus, that you came to show us the true vine, the true way to the Father. Father, I pray that you will continue to work in each of our lives. Father, I pray that you'll show us if there's areas that you want to change in our lives, that you'll show us if there's areas that you want to take something away from us, to make us more like you. And Father, make us willing vessels that we are open to your Holy Spirit to move in our lives. Father, as we desire that your Holy Spirit will move in our land and in our world, Father, that starts with us. And Father, I pray that you will move in our lives this day and throughout the coming days. In Jesus' name, amen.